show. We all know Kellyanne Conway. She's both the first woman to ever lead a presidential campaign to victory and an intrepid time traveler who must carry the burden that she alone prevented the Bowling Green Massacre.
After an impassioned Democratic primary between the Curb Your Enthusiasm guy and the Mother of Dragons, the voting is finally over. And with Hillary Clinton as their nominee, the Democratic Party has united without controversy. JK, y'all, I'm with you.
I won't vote for Hillary. I can't vote for her.
We're not just automatically going to vote for the demon because you're saying the devil may be there.
Demons and devils? How can it get any worse?
Stop. Stop hurting America.
When Jon Stewart was host of The Daily Show, aired on the Comedy Network, he drew the ire of some personalities in the TV news business. He upset them. Their complaint seemed to be that some people were getting their news and commentary on the news from his show. And The Daily Show was not news. Somehow, Stewart was intruding on their territory. Stewart seemed generally amused by it, perplexed as to why powerful news organizations and personalities would be concerned with what he was doing on a late-night satire show on a cable channel available only by subscription. "We're fake news," Stewart would say. "Why did CNN care what he was doing on a comedy channel?" I'm Paul Cross. This is Cross Talk, Media History, Commentary, and Analysis, Season 2, Episode 14. It's likely that Jon Stewart started to really catch on with late-night viewers after 9/11, the attacks on New York City. His response was emotional and genuine, and propelled him into the public view more than before. Jon Stewart was commenting on events in the news, and he was commenting on how the news industry covered events in the news. Let's put some historical context on this period. In the 1990s, there was war in the Persian Gulf after Iraq invaded Kuwait. There was a lot of news coverage on it, on radio, on TV, and the papers. We were shown a lot of images and video, fighter pilots setting their sights on targets for attack. We got a lot of sound, wild sound, for radio news. Some people described this approach to the coverage as video game wars. It was surreal seeing the short bits of footage of these attacks, like a blast from a computer game. If the video game wars in the Persian Gulf in the early 90s and the Iraq War after 9/11 pushed the TV news business into shorter, flashier, more sensational stories and fragments of stories and shorter actualities of newsmakers, competing for viewers with allegedly less time and shorter attention spans, TV news practices likely contributed to the opportunities for people like Stewart and shows like The Daily Show. There was a vacuum in reasoned, researched, nuanced analysis of events and news coverage of those events, as more and more panel shows and deliberately acrimonious talk replaced actual reporting on network TV. Stewart took the field almost by default. Think of how angry and noisy and empty a lot of news talk panels are today on channels like CNN or Fox, or how biased or agenda-driven they sound on AM 640, how set in their view some hosts are on stations such as News Talk 1010 or CFRA in Ottawa or CHML in Hamilton. So night after night, The Daily Show would dissect the top story or issues of the day, comparing statements and events with clips from recent and not-so-recent history, giving context and background which, in my observation, was being left out of the breathless, frenetic reporting and news talk on established news shows and channels. But conservative talk show hosts in particular were angry about Stewart's criticism of their approach. Here's a bit from one of his appearances on the CNN show, Crossfire.
I made a special effort to come on the show today because I have, privately, amongst my friends, and also in occasional newspapers and television shows, mentioned this show as being bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that wasn't fair, and I should come here and tell you that I don't, it's not so much that it's bad as it's hurting America.
If some people said they got their news from The Daily Show, to the horror and chagrin of TV news people, they were often getting a deeper, more thoughtful and analytical commentary on at least one major issue of the day than TV news was willing to provide. I say this from watching and from knowing what information had been available on the wires and reported on radio and TV news through the day, including on my own radio newscasts. Social commentary has historically been an important part of comedy. Late-night talk show entertainment TV tends to choose its hosts among performers who have mastered the art of stand-up comedy. Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, David Letterman, Joan Rivers, Mike Bullard. Then, in this millennium, Jon Stewart, Seth Meyers, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert, Larry Wilmore, John Oliver, Samantha Bee, and coming soon, Lily Singh. A who's who of comedians has hosted the news, commentary, satire segment Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live since 1976. It is probably at its weakest point in terms of writing and performance now in 2019, in my opinion, having watched the hosts for many years. Fake news shows, satire really, don't belong to the U.S. alone. For decades, dating back to 1973, the Royal Canadian Air Farce was produced for CBC. It ran on CBC Radio 1 from 1973 to 1997. This Hour Has 22 Minutes began on CBC TV in 1992 and continues today. These are among many shows that have comedians commenting on or portraying politicians and celebrities, putting biting satirical spins on issues and events in the news. Within some of these shows, individual performers have become known for commentary. Rick Mercer on 22 Minutes built his Rick Mercer Report to include commentary. His rant, delivered while pacing graffiti-lined alleys in downtown Toronto. Here's one from January 2018.
6 months ago, if you asked random Canadians on the street what they thought about Tim Hortons, the vast majority of them would probably say positive things. In this country, we've always had time for Tim Hortons. So it is inconceivable that suddenly Tim Hortons is front and center in the debate on how companies treat minimum wage employees. I would say that the guy who built Tim Hortons is spinning in his grave, except he's still very much alive. That would be Ron Joyce Sr., the genius that built the Tim Hortons empire, an iconic brand that most Canadians felt reflected Canadian values. That's Ron Sr. Do not confuse him with Ron Jr. Ron Jr. is the son. Kind of like Fredo in The Godfather.
To name just a few other performers whose segments on satirical TV shows amount to sometimes brilliant commentary, Jessica Williams, formerly of The Daily Show, now a co-host of a podcast and show Two Dope Queens. We heard her in the opening montage. Roy Wood Jr. on The Daily Show. Samantha Bee, whose full frontal is extended commentary, heard at the very start of this episode. John Oliver's Last Week Tonight. Trevor Noah, host of The Daily Show Now, and Bill Maher's Real Time. Radio and TV news are not unaware of the role of satirists in delivering commentary on the news. At the RTDNA National Convention for News Directors and News Workers here in Toronto in May 2017, host Evan Solomon conducted an interview session with Mark Critch of 22 Minutes. They acknowledged that satire has a place in news commentary. Critch admitted a satirist needs to know when to draw the line, but couldn't define it. It's something you have to feel, he suggested. Critch had previously been criticized for mocking Stephen Harper, whom he parodied over Harper being pushed into hiding in a closet during an attack on Parliament Hill when Harper was Prime Minister. Some politicians, politicos, and newspaper columnists, particularly opinion writers, thought he had crossed a line there. In the era of the presidency of Donald Trump, satirical commentary has arguably more fuel than ever before. The podcasts of various comedians are sometimes pure satire, commentary, opinion. Larry Wilmore, who was a writer on The Daily Show, then got his own TV show, The Nightly Show, and continues his podcast, Black on the Air, brings it all back to radio, commentary, and opinion. Obviously, there are many other performers and writers of social commentary not covered here. Each plays their own part in helping inform listeners and shape opinions through commentary. As broadcasters, we recognize what these folks are doing. It's not news. It's not fake news. It's commentary. And in Canada, the Supreme Court says radio has a right to provide commentary. I talked about that in Season 1, Episode 9. This is Crosstalk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach radio.